Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show alive and kicking at newstalk.com or you will find me on Instagram. I'm at Claire McKenna Presents. Coming up this morning, Donal Farrell of WMO Healthcare on carotenoid testing, why do it and what the results can tell us. Jerry Hussey on his new podcast and the importance of a daily check-in. And Dervla Meskel will join me in studio where we'll chat about finding joy in April and I'll have two listeners report back on how they got on and if their month felt any different. So what kind of a health and wellness week did I have? Well, I had a tough week, I'm not going to lie. There was an issue with one of my kids and the school. I found it stressful and upsetting. I am such a talker, hence my job, and I was discussing it around the house with my husband, with my daughter, with my son. And at one point I said, I just don't know how to fix this. And my young child said to me, maybe don't try and fix it. Let's just see how it pans out. So, you know, sometimes they know better and are really sent to teach us. So wise words indeed. So I took it easy. I retreated for a few days. I went for walks. I leaned into the breathwork sessions. I chilled out on the couch. You can't deal with any stressful situation in a depleted state. And as with all of these things, every experience is a learning. And look, everyone's fine, healthy, happy, and this too shall pass. But you know, I'm very honest here about what goes on in my week. And speaking of motherhood, I want to give a mention to an event that is coming up that I'm a part of. It's called Mother Voices and it's happening at the Dean Hotel in Dublin on May 6th from 6 to 8pm. It's being held by Ailish Gormley to raise funds and awareness of her Year of Care campaign. She's come on the show to talk about it a couple of times. It's a campaign she started following her own experience of postnatal depression when her second child was 8 months old. We currently have 6 weeks of checks by the public health nurse, who are all angels, by the way. But at such a vulnerable stage in life, Ailish is campaigning for a system of care to be in place for all mothers for the first year after giving birth to check in on physical, mental and emotional state and to give support where needed. This will, of course, benefit the mother, but also the child and ripple out into everything from family relations, returning to work and lessen the need for intervention further down the line. You can find out more at yearofcare.ie. And she's also Year of Care campaign on Instagram. And there you'll find an Eventbrite link for the tickets for Mother Voices, where a range of mothers will share their experience of motherhood. I know it'll be a very special evening. It's to raise awareness and raise funds. Ailish has funded this whole campaign by herself and really started to get traction at government level. So let's help or push it that little bit forward. I'm delighted to be involved and I would love to see you there. You can email the show aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Now, you might remember I had Professor John Nolan on the show. He heads up the Nutrition Research Centre in Waterford and his research into macular degeneration and brain degeneration in old age found that carotenoids were low in both cases across a large study of people. Carotenoids are found in colourful foods and by getting more of them onto your plate and with supplements, you can help people avoid these issues. Donal Farrell is from WMO Healthcare and is providing free carotenoid screenings in pharmacies across the country. And he joins me in studio now. Donal, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire. Thanks for having me.
And recently I went, I had had my carotenoid levels tested down at the research centre in Waterford with John Nolan. And I was back with you in Mars Pharmacy in Churchtown to have it done again. And I posted it on my Instagram. And when we were chatting there, I was like, you'll have to come in and talk a little bit more about what it is you're doing to let people know you're coming around the country. But tell me a little bit first about you and WMO Healthcare.
WMO Healthcare is a healthcare supply company to healthcare, to ophthalmology and to pharmacy, which was established in 2010. Its sister company, West Midland Optical, was actually established in 1980. So 46 years in business and huge knowledge of the optometry business. It started in optometry and supplying frames and lenses, sunglasses to optometrists. It's the largest independently owned supplier in the country. In 2008, Professor John Nolan contacted Eugene Matthews, one of the current owners. Him and Declan Cunahan established the company took over the company, I should say, in 2006. After that meeting and John Nolan's research into macular degeneration at the time, WMO Healthcare was then established in 2010. And that was mainly to go into the healthcare supply.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's like prevention, preventative, as opposed to supplying what people need when Absolutely. The condition is already there.
Yes. So I suppose the analogy that John always uses, a famous one, and it's just the easier relatable one, is putting the sunscreen on before the burn. We don't wait for the burn to happen before we apply the treatment. We put the burn on beforehand. So preventing these and preventing oxidative stress in the body is where this is most effective.
So where did you come into all of this?
So I stumbled into this in 2023. I was approached and welcomed into the company, fell into it really, if you like, by coincidence or accident, as some of these things often happen. And I was taken on to run the role of the project of carotenoid screening for the country. So that's where I came in completely. As I said, it was by complete accident.
And where are you at with health and wellness? Is that something that up until then was part of your life? Had you ever heard the word carotenoid before?
All honesty, I would have never heard the word carotenoid. And obviously, it's the first question I'll be asked in a clinic is, what is a carotenoid? So no, I hadn't. I would have been familiar with nutrition. I would have, nutrition would have been a strong part of my motivation in life. In general, fitness would have been always a huge part of it. Pre-COVID, I think I was just about going around the situation of trying to purchase a gym and get into that. And when COVID hit, I was obviously glad that didn't happen and didn't occur at the time. But yeah, physical fitness, well-being, health, nutrition—it is a lifestyle, and with me, that's no different.
Okay, so this role suits you.
This role was probably made for me, is what it was. That's why I suppose was asked to do this. Yes.
Yeah. So a serendipity, I think.
Serendipitous is a great word for it. Yeah.
So let's ask the question that most people ask you. I touched on it in the introduction. What is a carotenoid?
So a carotenoid is an antioxidant. We find them in the body. They help with the likes of supporting immune function, skin health, vision, obviously with huge research behind that, cognitive function and heart function. And quite simply put, we get carotenoids from our colourful fruits and vegetables, as you mentioned. There are about 700 of them in nature. There are 20 that enter our blood systems. There are three of them that accumulate at the back of the eye, right in front of the retina or the macula. And they have powerful antioxidant properties. Essentially, what they do in the eye is they're protective. They absorb ultraviolet frequency of light, and they prevent that damage happening in the eye. Unfortunately, age-related macular degeneration is a disease that we will all potentially get if we live long enough. And various degrees of light in the eye in particular, whether it be now we have much more exposure to screen time, for example, which would be again a part of exposure to this type of light. So the function of carotenoids serve in that regard. The three of them at the back of the eye are very important, and we share two of them with the brain. And they were discovered by John Nolan and Joanne Power, or Joanne Feeney, sorry, my apologies, in the TILDA study in 2012.
And it's a very easy test, because why do we need to know where our carotenoid levels are at? Because of everything that you just said.
My focus on this is going to be completely about the food aspect of it. And there are lots of great people out there creating great awareness around the quality of food. Mick Kelly, for example, who had his test done with Professor Nolan Ortiz recently. When we grow our own fruit and vegetables, we tend to get a much better quality food source. Food that has to travel, and about 85% of our food now is traveling long distances across the world and have various different preservatives and chemical interventions in order to try and get those foods to our plates. These nutrients then obviously diminish in those plants, because some of these plants are early ripened, for example, or force grown, which means the carotenoids don't actually establish within the plant properly. Therefore, we don't get them and absorb them as much as we should from diet. And if we compare our national average here in Ireland, it actually tends to be very low. And that correlates with our differences in rates of disease compared to other regions like the Mediterranean region.
So what are you finding going to these pharmacies and testing people? Now, people should know, you get tested on the skin, you put your finger into a little machine. Yep. It literally takes 5 minutes. It's totally non-invasive. Yep. And you get really comprehensive results.
You get a snapshot of your nutritional health.
And what have you found?
That our national average, and again, this was estimated at the time by Professor Nolan, that our national average, around 70% of the population are showing to be low and on the fence of deficiency, if not deficient. So, for example, in a particular pharmacy recently, I pulled out some figures particularly for you today. A pharmacy I tested 20 people in recently showed that 55%, 12 of those individuals were all deficient, which was under 200 on the test. Now, it is important to say that this isn't about scaring the crap out of people either, which is important. I'm not driving around trying to tell people, oh my God, we're going to get Alzheimer's. This is about what we can do to protect against these diseases, because Alzheimer's can be present in the body for 20 years before we actually show a symptom. So lifestyle is a very important part of that. And then the nutritional aspect of that is where the research is focused with the NRCI.
And I think what's really positive, and something I discovered when I went down to the Nutrition Research Centre in Waterford, is that you can change your numbers in a relatively small amount of time. So I was tested once and again 3 months later. So even though it can be scary to say you're below the average and this is a worry, they can come back in 3 months and have turned that around.
Yeah, and it's an empowerment more than anything else. If you know that figure, you have something to work off. That's a base rate. And I have tested over the last 3 years people who decide, I'm going to do this by diet and I'm going to come back to you in 6 months' time and I'm going to see what my measures are. And that's absolutely perfect. That is the main message here. And if someone is growing their own fruit and vegetables, yes, they're going to get that, you know, in a better supply. Supplements are available. And when supplements are used or are recommended, we just strictly deal with what is evidence-based. So if it has, for example, MacuPrime 15 different clinical studies proven in its performance, and a further 6 clinical studies on Remind, for example, that is where these become different to just, and what it separates it out from, you know, the marketing and the mumble jumble that we tend to, why we reach for supplements in the first place.
Yeah, and we do hear a lot, and it's very overwhelming to people about what to take, what not to take.
And it's very confusing.
Yeah, something that Professor John Nolan speaks out about a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And as you say, go for evidence-based.
John doesn't mince his words.
So how have you found being so front-facing? Because, you know, you said to me earlier before we started recording, you know, some people who score low end up sharing really personal stories about how tricky life is, how difficult life can get. So I'm sure there's been times where it's been challenging but rewarding.
Yes.
Emotional.
I get a lot of stories, the personal stories, which is part of the job I really enjoy. Now, if they're happy stories and funny stories from someone asking me about their foot because they think I'm a GP or a pharmacist, or whether it's more to do with an elderly individual who's lost a partner and is no longer cooking or looking after themselves because the centerpiece of their day and the conversation is gone. It's empowering, and it's very interesting. And if you can help anyone in any regard with this, that's a hugely positive thing.
Now, people will be listening and they may have heard the word you said, diet, a word I hate, but I know you meant the diet,
as in
nutrition. And this is not about restriction. This is not about cutting things out. This is about adding in. So we're talking add in colour. And I do think in the modern age, people can grab a toast and a coffee, run out the door, grab a sandwich, a toastie and a coffee at lunchtime, come home, throw a bit of pasta on, a little bit of tomato sauce over the top and cheese and, you know, crash in front of the couch because they've had a really busy day.
Yep.
And that's only one colour gone in all day.
Yeah.
So it's about adding in as much colour as you can every single day.
Absolutely. And every mealtime if possible. And that is something like I try and include, and again, this might sound, isn't this great, isn't he mighty? You know, I try and include 8 to 10 plants in my breakfast alone, just different varieties of fruits, nuts, seeds. And that will give me a range of, a plethora of fibre as well as carotenoids. We're all very, very well regarded, we're largely known to be fibre deficient. And again, the problem with food, I suppose, if we look at food is now, because our lifestyles have got so busy, food now has become easier. It's easier to produce. It's quicker to produce. A lot of it is synthetic, which means we end up getting certain ingredients that are in our food that are also in our aerosol cans, which is completely out of touch with what nutrition is. But it's convenient and it's easiest for us to buy it ready-made.
Yeah, and busy lifestyles.
Busy lifestyles. So we get very deficient in this area because, as well as that, not only what's going on with the carotenoid levels, these chemical interventions are disrupting and causing dysbiosis of the microbiome, which is a conversation for another specialist. But that area is hugely important because that's our signaling for the whole body, our gut and our brain talk. False sugars, for example, is another huge area of concern. Saccharin, one of the main Sweeteners was created in the late 1800s as a byproduct of coal tar. And this is 300 to 500 times sweeter than sugar, and it's widely available in our food. So these byproducts for these industries have become a way of them making more money.
Yeah, and it's about putting the power back in people's hands. And I think the first empowering step is to know your numbers, know where you're at. So you're heading around the country. Where can people find out where you are testing? And it's free in pharmacies.
It is free in pharmacies and opticians. I tend to cover a large geographic area, the 26 counties in particular. Finding out where we're screening, personally, I put up all my events prior, maybe the week before or the 2 weeks before, and I'll put that up on social medias at WMO Healthcare on the likes of Instagram or Facebook. Our webpage will also have life meter screening. The Remind supplement will also have it on their webpage. And this is updated as we go along because we book these events months in advance. So there can be changes. Do check in. I always specify to someone, check in with your pharmacy or your optician beforehand. Don't just assume it's on. Book an appointment, because all of a sudden you could ring the pharmacy and find out that we've had to reschedule that, but something may not have been updated. And these things happen. So it is important just to if you're having an appointment or having a testing done, book in with the pharmacy or the optician first.
Yeah, look, it's well worth doing. It's very interesting information, as was this conversation. Donal Farrell from WMO Healthcare, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Claire.
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, Go Loud recently announced their first daily podcast, A New Day with Jerry Hussey. Jerry is a health and performance coach who brings a blend of wisdom, psychology, science and philosophy into these daily episodes designed to help you pause and reflect. And Jerry joins me in studio now. Jerry, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's
great
been
to be
a
here.
While. Were you not
it
talking
is.
To me?
Do we fall out or something? I don't know.
I don't think so. You couldn't fall out with you, Jerry.
Yeah. Oh, some people do. I fall out with myself very regularly. Every day I fall out with myself, actually.
Well, congratulations on this. I think this is great, because, you know, long form podcasts are great, and I love how people can get really stuck into a conversation. But sometimes people are looking for something a little bit more bite-sized, aren't they?
Well, they are. And, you know, I think there's so many great podcasts out there. That's the first thing. Why is this different? I have this belief that every human being is one question away from a major breakthrough. And I was lucky enough to work with incredible coaches, particularly in the sporting environment. You take the sport of boxing, you go out the first round, biggest fight of your life, everything's going wrong, nothing's working, chaos. You know, you're just in the middle of a storm, and the coach has literally 60 seconds to reset your mind, your nervous system. So I suppose when you work in sport long enough, you identify that sometimes things have to be fast. So you have to cut through the noise, cut through the science, and get through what's actually the most important thing in this moment. And I think nowadays we have so much incredible wisdom and science, but some mornings we just need 8 minutes to stop, to breathe, and for someone to encourage us, motivate us, and ask us the one question that's going to change our energy, awareness and attention. And that's what I wanted this podcast to be. There's lots of incredible science in there, but there's also a lot of some simplicity. And it's to just, I know myself in the mornings, I just need someone to tell me it's going to be okay, someone to remind me that I am strong, that I am brave. And if I change where my energy and attention is, something amazing could happen. And that's my wish for this podcast.
But you have been doing this to yourself. You've been listening to A New Day with Jerry Hussey for the last while, because I always talk about the importance of a daily check-in. I think the morning is the best time because the whole day is ahead of you. Now, look, if for somebody else it comes later because of whatever their responsibilities are, I get that. But as you said, if you frame the day with how am I, how am I doing, what do I need and how am I going to get there, I think it's a really positive thing. So this is what you do for yourself every day.
This is what I do every day. And what I've done is win the morning, win the day. So every morning I wake up, and I'm always honest with this, and I think as long as you know me, I wake up some mornings, I'm scared, I'm anxious, I doubt myself, I worry about the future. And in that moment, I think it's important that we give ourselves permission to feel all those emotions. And in this podcast, I want people to know that no matter how you feel at any given moment, if you can meet yourself without that judgment, without comparison, without criticism, and ask, what's the emotion that's driving me right now? What's the story I'm allowing to build in my mind? And what's the root cause? Because very often in today, we reach for the coffee, we reach for the tablet, we reach for something to soothe the symptom. But what we know, particularly around beliefs and around emotions, is you can soothe them all you want, but unless you actually deal with them, they're not going to go away. So firstly, I meet myself every morning as I am. And then what we do know about emotions, what we do know about the nervous system is we have a choice. And every single morning we wake up, whether we know it or not, we have a chance and a choice, a chance to start again, a chance to change our story, a chance to balance our nervous system, a chance to say, I love you, a chance to look in the mirror and say, I see you, I love you and honour you. And a choice whether we do that or not. And a lot of people rightly say, well, I can't do because I've no time. What I remind people is that 15 minutes is 1% of your day. And surely you matter enough to give yourself 1% of your day. Now, this podcast is half of that. So it's 0.5 of a percentage to stop to breathe. And it's meeting yourself every morning. But it's also, if it's not the morning, what I've done in my life is I scaffold, it's kind of the atomic habits idea. I look at the daily habits I have. So when do I have my cup of tea? When do I do something for me? And it can be in the morning, or maybe it can be the evening to wind down as well. So what we hope this podcast will do is it becomes a daily ritual. So maybe it's when you go for your walk. Maybe it's when you sit in the back garden and have a cup of tea. When is it? We want you to build a routine that honours you, that honours your wealth, health, honours your dreams. And in that moment, we know we can nourish our mind, our body and our soul. And it's those daily rituals that we're hoping to build.
So I'm interested in seeing behind the curtain. How are you? I mean, look, I know you are a wealth of information. You are full of gems. You're working in this area for so many years and, you know, you've studied, you've learned, you've written books. So I'm not questioning the amount of knowledge you have. But how are you finding coming up with something for every single day?
It's not easy. And a few things is, one is, you know, if I come on with you here or your podcast or something and we can just openly chat, that's easy. For me, it's how do I make an impactful moment in 8 minutes? And that's the challenge. So yes, it's a huge challenge. It's never been done before. But I suppose that's who I am. I can never just be normal. I always want to try something different. And I know, particularly since we've had kids and you've been in our house and our house can be mad like every other house, 24 hours is a lot. So some mornings I feel absolutely phenomenal. I feel confident. And then something happens throughout the day and 24 hours later, I'm shook, I'm rocked. So that's why I thought, you know, 24 hours can be a long time. So if we can get people into the habit of resetting every day. So it's a huge task. It's not simple, but I think the reward is amazing. And ultimately, someone said to me years ago, I met them for about 20 minutes and they were after going through years of therapy, and therapy is really, really good. But I suppose in 10 minutes, I just distilled everything down and asked them a question. And they said to me, Jesus, Jerry, if I could have you in my pocket every day, it'd be amazing. And that idea stuck with me and that's where it came from. So it's my years of wisdom, my knowledge. It's all the science that I've learned, but it's also I've learned to simplify life at times and not to doubt yourself and to back yourself. So it's a chance to have a coach every morning in your pocket for free, who's going to love you enough to challenge you, believe in you enough to support you and help you arrive at that one question every morning that'll change everything.
How do you suggest people listen? I know you sort of said take the cup of tea to the garden, do it to wind down, do it first thing in the morning. But should people take this as a project, have their pen and their journal, or should they just let the words land and think of them through the day? What's your advice there?
I think it depends on who you are. It depends on what works. For me, I love to listen to a podcast. I love to write down some notes and then I put those kind of notes on the wall and reminds me for the day. My wife, Miriam, started listening to it. She listens to it with the kids as they drive to school. I know people who once they've the school run done and they come back before they go into the next batch of work, they have a cup of tea. It's different for everybody. If you could listen to it in the morning, it's amazing. But listen to it anywhere and there's no right or wrong. And I think it's a lovely mix. So sometimes it's science and I love science. And sometimes it's just more philosophical. Sometimes it's just encouragement. And sometimes it's a dose, as you know, of healthy challenge where I kind of, I'll be there for you and I'll hold you and I listen to you, and then I gently challenge you as to, and so what? But how about you? And how about your response? Because you're not the past, you're not the future, you're more powerful than you believe. And what would love do? So I think it's it'll be a lovely mix. So you can listen to it really anywhere. It's short, and I think we've done a really good job with each episode, that there's a lovely start that gets you in, settles the nervous system. Then we deliver a little piece. Then we ask the question, and then we finish with a beautiful reminder that I think I need to hear every day. And if I need to hear it, there's probably more people that need to hear it.
Oh, I'm excited. You're coming into my morning for sure. And I love that idea. Of course, Miriam is nailing it, listening to it with the kids, because I went to a Tony Robbins conference years ago and Pitbull was his guest. And Pitbull's mom used to listen to Tony Robbins tapes driving him to school. And I mean, you may or may not like Pitbull and his music, but there's no question he's a very successful individual. And he just had these things implanted in his mind that if you can believe it, you can achieve it. And he went on to live the life of his dreams. So I think that's really good. Sometimes we kind of put our own headphones in and we forget there's little ears listening, and it can be really positive for them to hear those questions.
It's an important thing to say, that little ears are listening to and absorbing every conversation that's happening in your house all the time. So if that conversation is around the state of the world and things have gone wrong, that's what the nervous system is listening to. So whether it's this podcast or whether it's nice music or whether it's, I think children are far more intelligent than we think. They listen and absorb everything. And so it doesn't have to be this podcast, but I think if most houses, like if there's a TV on in the background, what's the news telling them about the world? What's the conversation you're having with your partner? And what's that doing to the mind, the imagination and the nervous system of the little ones listening? Because ultimately, we want to build children who have a default program that I am strong, I am brave, I am resilient, I am enough. And in these podcasts, we say that over and over again, and I get people to repeat that. And it's amazing from the feedback. People say, I love the science and I love this. I find it really hard to look in the mirror and tell myself, I am brave, I am strong, I am enough. And if this podcast does only one thing, if it gets people to wake up in the morning and remind themselves that they are strong, they are brave and they are enough, I'd be very proud of it.
Oh, well, you should be proud already of this and all the work that you've done and continue to do. It is available now. It's on the Go Loud platform or wherever you get your podcasts. A New Day with Gerry Hussey. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Alive and Kicking on News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, Dervla Meskel's book, Finding Joy, has been in the top 10 bestsellers list since its release in February. A series of poetry and reflections, it invites the reader to seek joy in the everyday and to find the ordinary extraordinary. Dervla and I met at an International Women's Day event. We were signing books side by side, but in the lead up to that, I'd been really struck by listening to her in interviews and seeing clips of her online, and I had noticed myself finding joy more and more and becoming more conscious of it. So I decided to lean in during the month of April, and I invited you listeners to do the same. And I've invited Dervla into studio to report back how we got on. Dervla, it's lovely to have you here.
I'm really excited.
I had really been thinking that I am a glass half full person. Yes. I think I'm always finding joy, but until you make it conscious, that's where the magic is.
It is. It is where the switch happens. I'm a glass half full person, and I know that's a privilege to be able to say. So I do know that. So when I started this journey, my cup was leaking. That's the best way I could say that. The little girl who'd, you know, been this joyous, joyous person, you know, jumping into the sea, going off and, you know, on my bike, and then my middle teens, they were hard, but I still had that facility to keep that highness and joyness and seeking. I think I had a seeking mind. And then when, I suppose, you're working full time, you've got your children, you've got all the things that kind of just, it's not a dump on because it's a choice. I mean, I would not want to be the mum I am to my three children, but it was a lot of dumping. You know, like I was saying yes to everything. In your book, you say the power to saying no, that men are able to write very succinct memos or emails. Obviously, we don't live in a world where if you're on a WhatsApp group with mammies, you're not emailing people and you're not going to be succinct. But you've got to have that Cinderella moment that you know how to say no. So I hadn't got there. So in the middle of all of this, I hadn't got to the no. I was saying yes, 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 and trying to figure out where I was going to do that. And literally my glass was leaking, it was gone. And finding joy was a sprinkling of water every day into my cup. And one of the things I did was I got up a little bit earlier in the morning, did all the lunches, and left for work. So it was between 6 and 7 in the morning, and I had to be at a certain place at 6:40 that I was going to be able to pull into a gate. And there was this gate, and behind the gate, the sun would be rising. And there was a horse in this field. And I stopped, and it was at the time that, and this would have been later on in my finding joys, where I actually started to hold the phone for 30 seconds to breathe, which I'm really bad at. I just, you know, took breath for 30 seconds watching this horse. Yes, I was on my phone. So yes, you know, social media connection and all of those things. But I think what I was trying to do was constantly fill my cup. And when I originally did Finding Joy, it was in a place where I think I was actually scared of losing myself. The happy-go-lucky girl was sort of getting a little bit raggedy, and I wasn't the nicest sandwich maker, and I wasn't the nicest soup maker, and I probably wasn't the nicest person on a committee talking about uniforms and what uniform was to be, you know, because I was just so tired. And started day one on Facebook, holding myself accountable. And suddenly, you know, I had to, the other thing I did was I wrote why it caused a joy. So I think it was not just a fleeting second of blue sky. I wanted to sort of find out for myself why the blue sky was making me feel good. So I wrote a little piece. Writing my joy and why I liked it couldn't be possibly about people are going to like this. This had to be authentically me. Why the blue sky made me feel this way. And if I got 5 likes, great. If it changed one person's life in that 5 likes, fantastic. But it was changing my life, which was really the big thing.
Well, I wanted to tell you how I got on in April, which is gas that we can do that. And we have 2 News Talk listeners on the line also who found joy through April. So before we get to them, I'm going to tell you how I got on.
Good.
So some of my biggest reflections, you can't appreciate the light unless you experience the dark. That was something that really spoke to me. And I think this January, we were sort of robbed of those beautiful winter walks because it can be quite mild in the lead up to Christmas. And you always think it's winter.
Yes.
And I always think back to one Christmas day where we couldn't even keep the wine cold outside because we'd no fridge space left because it was too warm. So I love a January crisp, sun is shining, it's freezing cold winter walk. And they were all gone because we had that crazy, grey, constant rain. But I tell you one thing, I have never embraced spring the way I have.
I think everybody did.
I think everybody did. Yes. And it's because we experienced the dark. Once the brightness came back, we were like, look at those flowering trees. I mean, I have not looked at trees the same way, I think, ever in my life. I don't know whether it's partly my age or that grey, but that's my reflection. Because of the dark, I appreciated the light. Mm.
And literally the 1st of April, that weekend just before the 1st of April, was stunning. Like people were sharing in their gardens and they were starting to, you know, there was a little bounce. You know, people bounce in the sunshine. They actually, you know, get lifted. But did you find it easy?
To find joy?
Mm.
I did. I mean, I think I'm constantly on the lookout. I'm looking at the sky. I'm looking at the trees. I'm being present in little moments. But there were some that took me by surprise.
Okay.
So I found the sharing on social media tricky. It happens to me all the time. I find this trying to, I'm perfect at broadcasting here in radio. That's my thing.
Yes.
That's how I know what to do. I see an item. I go, that would be great. I must get that person in. To think I must make a reel out of that is not my natural mode. Mm-hmm. It just isn't. And I'm still struggling with it from time to time. So I would be taking photographs and go, I must post those later. And then 4 days would pass and I'd be like, but they're there,
but
and they will go
moment.
Up. But I was there in the moment.
Yes, and that's really important.
And I think some of the most important ones happened away from my phone. So there was one night my daughter came in to say goodnight to me because she's 12 now, so she's a bit older. She kind of takes herself off
that's
to bed.
Lovely.
And she came in and she just gave me such a big hug. And that was my joy moment. And it made me think, I'm going to ask her, will we read a book together again? Because you know, you let it slip and you're like, they're older now.
And you don't want to invade in their space either. You want to allow them to have that little bit of, you know, private space.
And
you know.
Mature a little and all of that. And that's absolutely fine. But I was like, I'm not going to let her go as quickly as I have been. And that was a moment of joy.
Okay.
So that was another big reflection. And I love what you said about trying to decide, why is this joyful?
Yes.
Because I think that's more important than just going, isn't that lovely? Or wasn't that great? Or wasn't that nice? To take it that little bit deeper. And that was something I've taken away after the month of April. Yeah. But I am always looking for the silver lining. I always get in trouble for being such an empath because I always like to say, well, you know, look at that side. And what about that person? And maybe they felt that. I'm always looking for the positive. I think that's just my natural DNA.
I can say that this 28 days, I felt more pressure, if I'm honest, because I've just written a book called Finding Joy in 28 Days. You better be able to do it, Darvila. And so the 28 days was more difficult. I wanted it to be, I wanted everybody, obviously, because I'm a people pleaser, I wanted everybody to love every joy. But I also was aware that this was like going back to the beginning for me, to sit in the uncomfortable things that made me joyous. So in other words, what makes me joyous doesn't necessarily make you joyous. And also what you might see, if both of us look out the window and we see something, both of us are reflecting on joy differently. And I think that's a really interesting take on joy. And I think it is a doing thing. I really, really believe that. I really do believe that we can change our mindset. I have literally, and I mean this honestly, I have changed the whole algorithm feed into my Instagram. I'm only on Instagram. Instagram feed has been completely changed in these 28 days.
And that's a metaphor for life and your own mindset.
What I had wanted to do was fill my grid with colour, wonder and light this 28 days. That was the thing. So obviously it's really easy to take nice colourful pictures because it's spring and we've got lots of lovely things. But what it actually did is it brought other feeds that were the same.
Mm.
So now I believe very strongly that my grid, my Instagram grid, is my kitchen table.
Yeah, and your own mind.
This is what I want to see. So when we put nice plates on the table, or we have lovely napkins, or there's a scented candle that you've wanted it, but you've kept it because it's the good one, because it's bougie, and somebody gave it to you, and it's probably 99 something ridiculous euros, and you're scared to spend, so you actually smell it unscented. It's ridiculous, or it's unlit. I'm lighting those candles. I was given the most gorgeous candles when I was sick, and I have never used them because they were so bougie and they were so lovely. And now I am lighting them on my kitchen table and I'm walking past and they're giving me great joy. But my Instagram grid is now, I'm viewing it like, who would I have at my kitchen table? I'm not going to have people who are unkind at my kitchen table. Just not having it. They're not coming to my table. And it's, Brené Brown, everybody talks about this, my therapist, you know, who's at your kitchen table? Because most of us will probably only have 3 or 4 serious friends who consider our kitchen table and hold our stories and allow us vomit out all our concerns and worries and not judge us. Probably very few people that's that. This is my kitchen table. This is what I curate. I'm curating this colour wonder magic for myself primarily. And if it gives you joy, I am so, I'm stoked.
And that's where the power comes from. It starts with looking at cherry blossoms and it ends with you putting up boundaries. And I love that. I want to bring the ladies in. I have Elaine Nick Raymond and Alexandra Foy on the line. Both found joy throughout April. Ladies, you're very welcome.
Hi.
Elaine, I might start with you. How did you find the month of April finding joy?
Such a positive experience.
I'm so glad.
I actually misplaced your book and I went out and bought it again.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, oh my God, I don't have my poetry book. I've an 8-month-old baby called Baby Joe. And it's been a huge change for me in the last few months. I'm at home. Mm-hmm. I'm on unpaid leave. My life has changed. I'm also a yes woman, a people pleaser, mm-hmm. a go-go woman, a doer, a grafter, an empath, all the things you've spoken about this morning. And I think as well, something we haven't mentioned is I've watched the atrocities in the world unfold on the gram.
Absolutely.
And when you become a mother, it's not just your child, but you realize what other women have to go through.
Totally.
And the difficulties they have to face in war-torn countries, in places that are not so privileged. And it breaks my heart.
Absolutely.
And I'm a really positive person. Positive is my default. I have a big heart and motherhood expands your heart so much. But being able to kind of stop and reflect and read your poetry, which I really connected with.
Thank you. You
mentioned that switch, and that really happened for me this month to the point where I have a book called Simple Abundance by, I don't know if you've read it. It's Sarah Brannan.
Oh my gosh. I have it 30 years. It was gifted to me by my friend Karen, who I talk about a lot on my stories from Scotland. She gifted that to me. It is the most incredible book. Incredible
Isn't
book.
It? Well, yeah. Yours is on top of that book now. And it is a book I will return to. Both my grannies lived well into their 90s. And Sarah Brannan was on her table. And she'd dip in and dip out. She wouldn't read it every day.
Yeah.
You don't have to post every day. But it's just that you're connected this joy, and it's something powerful and higher than you, and something that can just kind of reframe what's going on in your life. So I'm actually getting married in 9 days, and I've chosen a poem for your wedding, so that's how much your poetry means to me. So thank you so much.
Oh my gosh.
And Elaine, are you reading the poem or are you getting somebody to read it for you?
I'm getting somebody to read it for me, because I'm just going to sit back in my wedding day, Claire, and enjoy it all.
Are you going to tell Dervla which one it is?
It's actually day one. It's You Were a Whisper.
Yes.
I have a little boy who wrapped his little finger around my heart and my hand in last August. And I've done a lot of manifesting. That's a kind of a term we bat around these days. But the life I've created now, it didn't just fall on my lap. And I'm super grateful, and I am going to live and watch the colours deepen.
Oh my goodness. There's a book in you, sweetheart. I'm really, really honoured and really to be a part of your day. I feel very special. Thank you so much.
That's the ripples of the finding joy. Elaine, would you have a couple of standout joy moments? What were the type of things that you were finding?
So Dervla also mentioned the seeking mind. Like, I hopped in the car one day, Claire, and drove to Mount Congreve in Waterford to see the bluebells, because I knew I would find joy there. But it was also, you know, I hadn't been there before. But I suppose the most simple moments of having a coffee on my own, maybe getting out to the gym and leaving the baby with a childminder, catching up with a good friend and having a belly laugh, they're not massive. No. But I would say flowers have come into it in nature. When we surround ourselves with nature and especially the spring elements, they just instill joy in all of us.
I want to bring in Alexandra Foy. You've been waiting very patiently there. And how have you found it?
You know, when you decided to do the Instagram, you know, for the month of April, I thought, wow, this is brilliant, because you can find, you know, little things in everyday activities that can just bring you joy. So I've been doing that and posting and tagging. And so, yeah, I've been doing lots. You know, I recently am looking after, I don't have any kids myself, but I do babysit a lot of the neighborhood kids. They all come to me. They're like, Alexandra, after school and everything. So one neighbor in particular, I tend to look after her 10-year-old daughter. And I've been taking her, you know, to parks. We have this gorgeous park across from our estate. It's called Fern Hill Park and Gardens. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
No.
But it's really lovely. It's got hiking trails. It's got playgrounds for kids. It has little coffee shop areas. There's lovely deer there sometimes. Wow. So sometimes we'll feed the deer there. They have cats. And then I also have been starting sea swims. I used to sea swim last year every single day from mid-April until the end of September. So I've started my end of April daily sea swims now. So
is it very cold?
It's actually, yeah, it was cold yesterday. Now, I went down to Sea Point and one lady said, oh, is this your first time in the sea? I said, no, it's actually not. I'm a sea swimmer, but it's my third day this year. So I'm kind of warming up. Now, I shouldn't complain because I'm originally from Canada and it's a lot colder there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for leading us. You can see the ripples,
so
even by just having a chat to Elaine and Alexandra, and what it brings to people's lives is incredible. So thank you very much
so
to Elaine and to Alexandra and
have
to Derv Lemesco.
Have a great wedding.
Thank you for having us today. It was a joy.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye. And Finding Joy is still available in all good bookshops. Get it on your shelf and into your life. Derv Lemesco,
thank you so much.
So that's it for Live and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, Aoife Breen, to Hugo De Silva Scott, who was on sound, and to Rory Galvin, who was on podcasts. Thanks to you for listening. I will see you next week.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.